Our readings today are an interesting combination of confessions and professions. The first reading from Deuteronomy talks about the Exodus experience. Remember, it's a ceremonial recounting of the 40 days of wandering in the desert, or 40 years of wandering in the desert, as Jesus would fast for 40 days, and as we begin our 40 days of fasting in preparation for Easter. And if you're counting the days, you will realize Sundays never count. They're always minimum minor celebrations of the resurrection, so therefore the days from Ash Wednesday through yesterday were added to make up 40 days of fasting. You can't fast, you can't abstain on Sundays because they're still celebrations of the resurrection. But the first reading, the experience of Exodus, where they're ritually recalling it, because the Exodus stands for every time that God entered into salvation for his people. Not just the historical Exodus, but every other time he enters in. And the Jewish people today still celebrate this at the Passover, as we celebrate our Christian Passover. Second reading is rather interesting because, remember, Paul was a Pharisee. He began his career in the Acts of the Apostles by persecuting those who followed the way, the Christians. Paul demanded the title of apostle, but he never knew Jesus of Nazareth. His first encounter with Christianity was to persecute Christians. So therefore, as a Jew, when he talks today, it's another type of confession. He talks about, well, Jesus is Lord. No Jew would ever have referred to a man as Lord, because Lord was the Greek term, kurios, which we said in our opening penitential rite, kyrie. Kurios, or Lord, was used only to translate in the Old Testament, Yahweh. So therefore, Jesus never, ever would have accepted the title Lord during his lifetime. He was a Jew. He thought like a Jew. He had to speak Hebrew. So therefore, that we forget so many times that Jesus was God and man. And when any time anyone emphasizes one over the other, they're formal heretics, according to the Council of Chalcedon in the 5th century. He's perfect God and perfect man. And that means he had to think like a first century Jew. He had to act like a first century Jew, and that's what we're getting today. We'll come back to that in a moment. But Paul goes on, gives a very simple creed, if you will. He's talking to a bunch of Jewish Christians in Rome. He says, you have to confess Jesus as Lord. So right away, this sets the Christian tradition apart from the Jewish tradition. Jesus, the man, is Lord. Jesus can be called the same title as Yahweh. That says something that makes him unique, sets him apart. But also, says you have to accept that God raised him from the dead. Back in Easter of 1964, when for the first time we were using translation of the New Testament from the Greek rather than from the Latin, people got very upset because there's only one way of translating from the Greek into English. Not he rose from the dead, but he was raised, passive voice. There's only one way of translating that. And yet, generations had listened only to the translation from the Latin, so they really thought this was heretical. No, it was truly orthodox. God raised him from the dead. He was obedient all the way to death. Now we come to the third reading, the gospel. The first Sunday of the year, several weeks ago, 6 weeks ago to be precise, right after the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, we had the passage that began before the baptism, and then it goes to what happens when Jesus comes back from the desert. There's an interruption. Now we have what was interrupted, the temptation in the desert. He goes away for 40 days as the people of Israel wandered for 40 years in the desert. Remember, it's still seen, as we see in Deuteronomy, this ideal time when God entered into the life of his people to deliver them, but it wasn't automatic. It wasn't immediate. 40 years they wandered, and they roused about it. They griped about it. Moses many times pled to God, why did you ever let me deal with these people? They have no respect whatsoever. Well, it sounds like the Catholic Church in the United States in the year 2013. We all know that we have the truth and nobody else does. Well, maybe we have to listen to the temptations today. As Jesus fasted for 40 days, it imitates what happened to the Jewish people for 40 years. So how do we understand this? Well, first of all, We have to understand all the readings talk about God is near. If we lose ourselves as Jesus did in the desert and on the cross and is open to the Father, if we lose ourselves and we imitate Christ and say maybe we don't have all the truth, maybe we're not always correct in that sense of being right. Many of us are right, but that means we're just to the right of center rather than left. Secondly, we have to realize the temptations that Jesus had are our temptations. They're every man's temptations, every woman's temptations. And finally, we have to say, how are we going to respond, especially as we begin our 40 days of reflecting upon our experience? Well, first of all, God is near. I already mentioned the book of Deuteronomy talks about this ideal, the Exodus experience is in capturing all the experiences of God delivering his people. Not just the historical Exodus, but that is the one that is the pinnacle of it. But keep in mind that it meant that they were still going to have to wander. That somehow or other they had to leave what was familiar to them. They had to leave the captivity in Egypt. They had to leave having three meals a day and go wandering in the desert. Therefore, most of us want to stick with what's familiar. Most of us want to stick with what we know is the truth. I had an old professor one time who said the first thing the Jesuits did with the vow of poverty was they would get their own plant. Then sometimes they get their own dog, testing superiors. And then, the worst of all, they got their own opinion. And many of us cling to our own opinion because we know it's the truth. And it may not be. So therefore, we have to leave what's so familiar and maybe be willing to go into the desert for 40 years. Wander with a human guide in front of us like Moses. Remember, Moses was so familiar with God, he sometimes had to veil his face after getting the Ten Commandments. And then he never got to the promised land. He saw it, but never got to it after he's led his people for 40 years in the desert. So somehow or other, we have to listen to what Paul says to his people. We have to confess Jesus as Lord and realize God raised him from the dead for us so that we become something new. And then once that happens, he reminds these Jewish Christians, there's neither Jew nor Greek. You can't claim because I'm an American, I'm better than other people. You can't claim because I'm an Irish American, I'm better than other people. You can't claim, no matter what you are, that you're better than other people, because you must confess, first of all, Jesus is Lord, and God raised him from the dead. But then it didn't happen automatically. Jesus, too, had to wander for a while. Today we have the various temptations to which, as a man, he was subject. As I said, if you emphasize the humanity over the divinity, you're a heretic. If you emphasize the divinity over the humanity, you're a heretic. The genius of Christianity is holding the two in tension. I've had priests say, well, after all, if Jesus wanted to, he could have just walked through the walls. That's formal heresy, condemned in the 5th century, because it means he wasn't human. Today we have the temptations that come to every person. He's been fasting for 40 days. Therefore, the devil comes, and by the way, when people talk about it's in Scripture, the devil was far better in Scripture than the overwhelming majority of Christians. He knew how to quote it. Just quoting Scripture doesn't mean a thing. You have to live it. If you are truly the Son of God, you can command these stones to become bread. Let's translate that a little bit. It means we're always looking for the immediate fulfillment of something. Every one of us is tempted to say, well, I want comfort. I want fulfillment. I want to see it now. I see this with the students I teach. They have no interest at all, for the most part, in education. They want a grade. They'll be excellent litigators, but they'll be ignorant. They'll argue between a B- and a C+. But are they interested in learning? They're like us. They want immediate fulfillment. That's the first temptation. Second temptation is Satan changes his tune a little bit. Doesn't talk about if you're the Son of Man or Son of God in this case. But he says, if you would worship me, because all things that exist are given to me, and if you kneel down and worship me, go back and read Genesis. What is the temptation the serpent gives to Eve? The reason why God told you not to eat of that one tree is because you will become like gods. So Eve wants to become like a god, and Adam wants to become like a god. The first sin is placing oneself in the center. Jesus is being tempted today, place yourself in the center and I will give you all these things. And Jesus responds, he has to worship only God alone. The irony of Christianity is that what Adam and Eve tried to steal, tried to usurp through the temptation of Satan in the person of the devil, in the person of the serpent, the irony is that though they could become like gods by usurping it, they're therefore condemned. But as a free gift, as a grace from God, we are all called to be like God. We're called to share in his life. That is the paradox of Christianity. If we once are willing to surrender ourselves, and like that old professor said, it's probably the hardest thing to do, surrender our own opinion. The third temptation. Third temptation is presumption. I know that I am saved, so therefore I can stand on the pinnacle of the temple and throw myself down, and the angels of God will save me. I know I've been saved. It's one of the ancient temptations to presume a relationship with God without trying to work at it. Very human. Most of us suffer from one of these at one time or other because we're convinced that we're better than other people. This time of Lent is a reminder. No, we all need to be called back to redemption. And we'll be back here next year doing the same thing. Because the church in its wisdom and sometimes its people, even its leaders, are not so wise. But nevertheless, we believe the church is the mystical body. It's better than the sum of its parts. So my third and final reflection. Our response. This is a time for us to look at personal renewal and personal reform. The end of today's gospel says Satan left him for the time. Or in the Revised Standard Version, it says he left him for a more opportune time. If we continue reading for the readings during Lent, but especially when we get to Holy Week, in Luke's gospel, again, the gospel we have for today, Luke's gospel has the agony in the garden, where Jesus finally says, if it be your will, let this chalice pass from me. It's the only gospel that has that. But not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, as a first century Jew, as a human being, I keep stressing that because the overwhelming majority of people I meet are in heresy. They cannot accept the true humanity of Christ, or else they make him merely a nice man, made in the image and likeness of Thomas Jefferson. I just finished reading an article for publication, I turned it down, where they're trying to combine what happened to Vatican II with what Thomas Jefferson said about religious freedom. Thomas Jefferson spoke about freedom from religion because all the center of the world is my own reason. No, the center of the world for the Christian has to be Christ and the ability to listen to Christ. And one of the things we have to recognize is that within the church, we have to always imitate Christ and say, not your will, but mine be done. The very last moment, Jesus' identity on the cross was he was obedient to the Father. He had to learn obedience, says the epistle to the Hebrews, because somehow or other, he was a human being. He did not search for suffering. None of us do. He did not search to be hungry. No, but he always searched to do the will of the Father as a good Jew should do, as a good Christian should do. So our time for renewal, our time for reform, is to reflect on what is our relationship to God. Are we like Jefferson and make God in our own image and likeness? Or are we trying to imitate Christ? We'll never get there. That's the reason why we will be back next year. But are we at least trying always to do the will of the Father? And maybe the hardest thing we have to do is to lose our own opinion.